She put her hand into another compartment. The charm wasn't there, either. She began wildly searching through all the different sections, taking out pairs of shoes and shaking them. The magic thing wasn't in any of them. Jane began to get in one of her rages.
Really, what a house! Nothing ever stays where you put it! Has Miss Bick been cleaning my room again?
No, she said it needed it, but it was beyond her.
Mark!
Was the next thought of Jane.
I wondered where he was. Has anyone seen him?
I did. He came in here and got his roller skates just a few minutes ago.
Roller skates? They were in the shoe bag. He must have found the charm and taken it. A person might as well be living in a den of thieves around here.
I don't think he did. He said the whole thing was just a coincidence.
He probably never noticed the magic charm at all. He probably just put the skates on with it in one of them, where you probably put it in the dark last night without realizing. It probably got stuck down there in a tightening part. It's probably still there, only he probably doesn't know. He'll probably make a wish pretty soon, and then suddenly—
Stop!
Jane could bear no more.
We've got to find him before he wishes for some awful thing and gets half of it. Where do you suppose he could have gone?
Jane was rushing into her clothes now.
Wah! Mayfits! Mayfits!
All right, we'll take you along.
Martha, who was beginning to understand Carrie's half-language, hoisted her up under one arm. They met Miss Bick in the hall.
Where are you taking that cat?
Into it! Foo! Fits out of the way, Fits!
Miss Bick backed away, turning pale.
That cat is ill!
I know! We're taking her to the vet's!
Catherine called back over her shoulder. Like everything else lately, the lie was only half an untruth. They were taking Carrie to be cured, if the charm could cure her. The children emerged from the house and stood looking around. Fortunately, they lived on a corner lot and could look down streets running in all four directions. But no welcome sound of whirring skate wheels, no welcome sight of an 11-year-old boy rewarded them. Finally, they started hurrying south on Maplewood Avenue, not because south looked any more promising than east or north or west, but because they had to start somewhere. Martha tried to muffle the sounds Carrie kept making by holding her close to her, but the few passers-by they met kept turning to stare after them.
Wah! Woo-woo! Fitzpatrick's!
Carrie screamed at the passers-by. She almost seemed to be enjoying herself.
Hush! Hush!
Martha told her. She was having hard work running fast enough to keep up with her sisters.
It won't be long now. At least, oh, I hope it won't.
Meanwhile, Mark had been skating around the neighborhood for some time. It was a dark, gloomy day, and he wished the sun would come out. A minute later, it did sort of half-peep through the clouds. Now that he was older, roller skating didn't seem quite the thing of whirlwind speed that it used to be back in the days when it was new to him. He wished the skates would go faster. Pretty soon, it seemed as though they did, a little. But just skating around by himself wasn't very much fun. He wished all the guys were back from their vacations. He wished that when he came to the vacant lot up ahead, he'd see them there, playing baseball as usual. And for a second, as he whizzed past the vacant lot, he did seem to sort of half-see a ghostly game in progress. He rounded the corner and came down his own block on Maplewood. As he passed Mrs. Hudson's house, he wished, as he'd often wished before, that just for once the iron dog in the yard would be alive instead of only iron. Then he looked back. For a minute, he thought he heard a faint, muffled bark, and it seemed as though the iron tail had tried to wag. Mark guessed he must have a pretty vivid imagination, all right, the way Miss Amrine, his last year's teacher, had always said. Thinking of Miss Amrine reminded him of school. Maybe somebody'd be hanging around the playground, somebody else who hadn't gone away for vacation. He turned at the corner and skated down Monroe Street toward the school building. It was just after Mark turned the corner that Jane and Catherine and Martha came out of the house and started hurrying down the street. As they passed Mrs. Hudson's yard, Carrie the cat struggled out of Martha's arms and ran up to the iron dog.
Yeah!
She cried, hissing and spitting at him.
Fitz, bully! Fitz, mutt! Cur, Fitz!
A strangled growl came from within the iron dog, and he strained forward, trembling as though trying to lunge at Carrie. Jane gave a cry of triumph.
Look! It's half alive! Mark must have been here. He must have wished. Hurry up! We're on the right track!
Martha dragged Carrie away from the iron dog and rushed on after the others. At the corner, they hesitated. then turned and ran down Monroe Street toward the school.